And then we're going to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4.
1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 tonight. And sure do appreciate the good choir singing and special singing. And I know we got a lot of folks that are struggling with some sickness and some that are here struggling with their voice. Amen. So we spare you some of the special singing tonight and just go right into preaching. But 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. And we'll look at one verse. I just want to read one verse of Scripture tonight. Have a word of prayer, then you can be seated, and then bring the message the Lord laid on our heart. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and a familiar verse, not a verse preached on very much, but a familiar verse of Scripture, verse number 11. The Bible says, "In that you study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you." Heavenly Father, speak to us tonight. Speak through us. Thank you for the Word of God. Lord, thank you for a good week. Thank you for what you've done throughout the Jubilee, the singing, the preaching. Lord, all the testimonies. We thank you for all the help that people have received. Lord, I know it will take eternity to see all the help that people received, not just there, but even those that watched online. And we pray now, God, you'll bless and help us tonight. I know that many of your people, Lord, have worked and labored and been faithful. No doubt some may even be tired in body tonight. I pray that you'll bless them, bless this church so much for their faithfulness to serve you. And may you get the glory and honor for all that will be said and done. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. I want to preach a message tonight entitled, Three Life-Changing Lessons. Three life-changing lessons. When we come to verse number 11 here, Paul is going to give us some very important instructions in these verses here. And what I want you to note about these instructions that Paul gives is that they are very personal. If you'll notice with me in verse number 11, Paul says, "And that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business and work with your own hands." You notice Paul is talking, of course, to the brethren, the church at Thessalonica, but Paul makes this verse very personal, as all the Word of God is to the church, but it is also personal to me and it is personal to you. We know that the Word of God is able to help us collectively, and of course Paul is speaking collectively, but he is also speaking personally here as he says, "And that ye study to be quiet." You could take that ye meaning the entire church body, but you could also take it as the individual. You know, that's the way the Word of God is. It goes forth. It speaks to the entire church. It helps the entire church, but yet we receive it on a personal level. So the instruction that Paul gives here is personal, and then it is practical. These three things that Paul is going to mention in this verse, to study to be quiet, to do your own business, to work with your own hands, these are very practical things in life. In other words, they're not something that you need a commentary to look up to try to understand. It may give some different light of some things, but you know, you can just read this one verse, every one of us tonight, and without the preacher even preaching a sermon, we already know what the interpretation of this text is, because it's very practical. And so these instructions are very personal. They are very practical. And then I would say that they're very pointed. Amen. Because you notice in the last part, verse number 11, look what Paul says here, "as we command you." In other words, Paul is not laying this out there as an option to the church, but he's saying, hey, this is a direct command. Now, it's not Paul's command, but it is a command from the Scriptures. Amen? In other words, it's not the preacher getting up and just giving out instructions and saying, this is how you need to live your life and this is what you need to do, but this is the Word of God. This is what God says that we as believers and we as Christians ought to do if we want to live a life that is honest before the world. The next verse says that you may walk honestly toward them that are without. Amen? And that you may have lack of nothing. In other words, Paul says if you'll do these three things here, there's two things that will happen if you'll do these three things here. He says that number one, he said if you do these three things, he said then you know that you can be clear in your testimony. You can walk honestly toward them that are without. Amen? And then the second thing is that you'll have lack of nothing. In other words, you can be complete in your maturity. That's how mature Christians live. They live by these three principles that Paul is laying out here. Amen. And so I want us to look at them. But just before we do that, I want you to notice one word here in verse number 11 that Paul uses. He said, "And that ye study." Now, when you think about the word study tonight, study has to do with listening, doesn't it? I mean, if you study something, you're going to have to pay attention to it. Isn't that right? In other words, you don't pass a test just by accident. Now, you might accidentally, but you're not going to do very good if you pass a test. Maybe multiple choice, maybe true or false. You might luck up somehow. We don't use the word luck, but you might barely skim by. But I mean, if you're really going to pass a test, you're going to have to study. Isn't that right? A teacher can always tell when a student has studied or when they have not. If a teacher can, I promise. I promise you, God knows if we have studied or not, and the world knows, amen, and other believers know. And so to study, you have to listen, amen, and then to study, you have to learn, amen. You have to take in what you hear. Now, some people will never listen. I don't care how much you instruct them. I don't care how much you preach to them. I don't care how many Sunday school lessons they attend. They just will never listen. And some people will never learn. Have you heard that saying before? They're just never going to learn. You know, I don't know where this came from, but I remember hearing this growing up, that oftentimes said if a man or a woman hasn't learned something by the time they're 40 years old, chances are they never will. Remember that? You say, can it be reversed? It can, but most likely it won't, because by that time they're too set in their ways. And so Paul said you need to study. Now, if you're going to study something, that means you got to listen, that means you got to learn, but then you got to live, don't you? You've got to practice what you have studied. Practice what you have learned. You can, you know, a lot of people can learn a lot of things and they can know a lot of things, but what good is knowledge if it's never put into shoe leather? Amen. I mean, you could go to 4 years of college and you could get a nice degree. You could go to 6 years of college and you could get a nice degree, but after you get that degree and you've got all that knowledge and you learned all those things and you passed all those tests, but if you go home and sit down, then you've not accomplished anything. Have you? You know why? Because you're not living that. And it's so true about the Word of God. So here in verse number 11, we find three things in this verse that we need to study that as Christians. Why? Because these three things are life-changing lessons that will help our life. It'll make our life easier. It'll make others' people's life easier. And so we should not let this verse just pass over our head. You say, well, what is the first thing that we ought to learn? Number one, Paul says, we ought to learn to silence our words. He said, and that ye study to be quiet. Now, a lot of people are good at spouting off and running off their mouth, but that's not what the Bible says we're to do. We're to study to be quiet. That means we need to learn not to answer everything. Amen. You remember when Jesus stood before Herod and Herod spoke to him and Herod questioned him, but Jesus answered him not a word. Sometimes the best answer you can give is no answer at all. You don't always have to have an answer. In fact, it's okay to not have an answer. Sometimes it's just better to be quiet. Amen. And sometimes, you know, we tell children that all the time. Seem like children just get to an age, you know, sometimes or they're where they like to talk a lot more. Maybe, you know, they start to, they get a little motor mouth on them, you know, and you got to tell them, now listen, this is adult conversation. And I think that's a good thing to tell your children. Amen. Let them be children when they're children, but don't let them insert them in adult conversation. Why? Because I don't care what people say, they're not that smart. Amen. I know that offends people, but it's just a fact. Amen. That there's nothing harder when you're trying to have an adult conversation. You got a kid spouting off something they don't know anything about. Can I get an amen right there? And so we teach that to our children. And so it is good for us. We have to learn not to answer everything. We have to learn to not acknowledge everything. There's some things I'm just not going to mention because they don't need to be mentioned. They're not worth mentioning. They're not worth acknowledging. Can we get an amen right there? There's some conversations I'm walking away from. They may not all be vile. They may not be bad, but they're just not something I want to be a part of. Learn to silence our words. Learn not to announce everything. You know, that's a day we live in when people think they've got to be the first to tell something. I'm glad I don't have to battle that. I battle enough things, but you know what? If you know something and I know something, if you want to be first, help yourself. Can I get an amen right there? I don't have to be first to tell something. I'm glad my wife, she taught our children that. Don't be first to run out and tell something. Let somebody else go out and say something and get in trouble. Amen. Isn't that right? But some people want people to know that they know first, that they know. You know, it's a miserable way to live life. Learn to silence your words. Amen. You see, the gift of gab is not a sign of a spiritual person. In fact, it is the ones who know how to remain quiet at times. It is the ones that knows how to be quiet. Those are the spiritual people. It's not the people. I'm not talking about necessarily giving a testimony in church. I think you understand that, although sometimes in church, people need to learn how to put the brakes on some things. Can I get a witness right there? Don't tell everything. But what I'm saying is that some people just they just talk and they just run off at the mouth, and they don't know how to put a governor on what they're saying. They don't know how to be quiet at times. But the Bible does teach us that spiritual people, they know how to bridle their tongue. James 1:19 says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." See, spiritual people don't act quickly. They don't say things very quickly. The Bible said in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 13, "A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter." You know, just because I know something don't mean I'm going to tell it. I think I might have said that this morning, but it's worth repeating again. Sometimes I hear things. You know, there are things that I never tell this church about. For one, you don't need to know them. You don't pastor the church. And I try to put myself in your shoes. You know, if I wasn't the pastor of this church, you know what I want to do, Brother Tim? I want to come to church. I want to sing. I want to enjoy some preaching. I want to worship God. And I want to get in my car and go home and live my life. Can I get an amen right there? So I'm not going to bring things to the pulpit and talk about things. I'm not going to tell things to people. There's no problems going on right now in the church. But even if there was, I'm not going to say anything about it. You know, even our deacons, we have 6 wonderful deacons, and I thank God for every one of our deacons. And there has been times when I've had to regrettably bring things to the table there and talk to them about. But you know, when we come together, we talk about the business of the church. We talk about future plans, future goals, and we talk about things to pray about and people to pray about, but I don't come into a deacon's meeting and lay a bunch of trouble down and heartache on our deacons, amen, or problems. Unless if I do that, you know it's got to be, they know it's really got to be a situation where I'm really going to need some prayer, but it's a last resort. You say why? Because if I was a deacon, I wouldn't want my pastor coming to me and dumping problems on me every week. Can I get an amen right there? I'll pray for my pastor. I'll pray for the church. I'll help him when he needs help, but I'm a deacon, not a pastor. Amen. I don't want to bear the burden. Amen. I'll just pray for him. But so what I'm saying to you is, there are things that I would never tell this church. There are things even out on the road, and things that I would never share. You know why? Because people, they need to think the best of God's people, because God's people are the best people on planet Earth. Amen. And so gossip doesn't do any good. Amen. The Bible said in Proverbs 21:23, "Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles." Amen. Learning to silence your words will keep you out of a lot of trouble. In fact, I do know this: when you're in a church and certain people's name keeps coming up in everything, I know immediately that person is into everything. It's amazing how God lets that happen. You know, if I was just a member of a church, I would really work hard at my name never coming up in things. You say, why do you do that? Stay out of everything. Amen. Silence your words. You know, when I tell evangelists, and I'm probably going to tell something, but you know, I really don't care if it gets out there. But I tell evangelists, I've told missionaries when they go out, I say, now listen, when you go out on the road and you sit down at a table, and a pastor says, and it's not every pastor, but when a pastor says, "Hey, did you hear about such and such? He said, no, I didn't hear about that. And when they said, what do you think about it? You always say this, I don't know, what do you think about it? Now somebody somewhere is going to say that, and I'm going to say, they'll say, I heard you preach that. I'm going to say, well, now you know what I'm doing. Because I'm not going to say anything about another preacher. I'm not going to say anything about what happens to the church down the road. He said, well, you're not going to silence my words. What if they say this? Let them say what they... I don't want to answer for it at the judgment seat. I've got enough to answer for. I don't want nobody to say, well, Brother Gravely said such and such. In fact, if somebody says I said something, please come ask me because it may not even be true. Silence your words. My opinion really doesn't matter. I'm going to be honest with you. I think in my family it matters. I think pastoring a church, it matters to a point, amen? But I'm telling you what's happening in other people's lives and things, I just don't want to give a lot of comments. You know why? Because I have a hard enough time keeping my own backyard clean. Can I get an amen right there? And that's the problem in the world. People think their opinion is so desired and that it's so important when God teaches the opposite of that. You see, you didn't come to hear what I think about anything in this verse. You came to hear what God says about it. Is that right? Me getting up here, and I know sometimes as a pastor, I preach things here. I don't preach other places because I pastor you. And that's you have to do that as a pastor sometimes, but you have to put a restrictor on it at times because opinions only go so far. But we're better to silence our words. James 1 and verse 26 says this, if any among you seem to be religious, now get this, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion's vain. Brother, people can testify, they can shout, they can sing, they can preach, but if they cannot control their own tongue, they're not spiritual. That's what that verse says. A spiritual man is not marked by how much he says. A spiritual woman is not marked by how much she can say. They're marked by how well they can bridle that tongue. I wouldn't embarrass nobody, but I think you would agree with me, Brother Danny and Miss Sheila fits that mold pretty good. My wife fits that mold pretty good. She's a vault. She won't even tell me some things. I'm like, you got to tell me. She said, well, I didn't think you needed to know that. Don't you thank God for people like that? That spiritual people just, they know how to silence their words. What I'm saying is a lot of churches have been destroyed because of some long-tongued Jezebel. Amen. Somebody that just went around and just talked and talked and always talking about things. And you know, things that happened in the past, you know where they need to stay? In the past. Because we all have past, don't we? I don't want people knowing about my past. And you don't want people knowing about your past. You say if it's been forgiven and it's under the blood, it should not be brought up anymore. If God's not going to bring it up, then how evil would it be for me to bring up somebody's past? And I want to say that tonight that I would want the same mercy showed to me that I would want to show the same mercy on somebody else that I would want showed to me. And so we must silence our words. We should not get off and whisper about certain things. We should not get off and talk about certain people and about certain issues that go on. We shouldn't, that's gossip, and gossip is wicked, and gossip is wrong. And so it's a life-changing, when you think about it, it is a life-changing lesson. If you can learn this, it is a life-changing lesson to learn to silence your words. Now, when you study something, think about studying the Bible. Do we ever finish studying our Bible? No, we don't. We study today, and we'll need to study tomorrow, won't we? You know, if you walked up to me tonight and said, preacher, can you explain Revelation chapter 7 to me? I cannot explain it to you right now. I'm sorry. I can't. What about Revelation chapter 9? Can't explain that one either. I know what's going on in chapter 9. Can't explain it to you. What about Revelation chapter 14? There's a tough one. I can't explain that to you neither. Well, have you never studied that? Oh, yeah, I have. In fact, I've preached it. But I can't remember all of it. I'd have to go back and study it again. That's just our mind. Now, I know y'all thought I was a very smart person. I hate to disappoint you. I'm just kidding. But When you study something, it means you got to keep going back to it. Keep going back. You know, that's the way it is with this. To silence our words, we have to study it every day. Lord, set a watch before my lips. We have to pray that, don't we? Lord, help me not to say anything that I shouldn't say today. Lord, help me not to say anything that will grieve the Holy Spirit. God, help me to bridle my tongue. Lord, help me to not shoot off at the mouth. Lord, help me not to sow discord among the brethren. That's one of the things the Lord hates, is he that soweth discord among the brethren. So Lord, help me to only speak when I'm supposed to speak, and help me not to speak when I'm not supposed to. Lord, help me to silence my words. That's a life-changing lesson. Another life-changing lesson here is not only to silence our words, but to stay in our world. Look what he said here. He said, and that you study to be quiet. Look at this. And do your own business. Paul said, if you want to change your life, study your words, or silence your words, learn to be quiet. And then secondly, stay in your world. That's hard for this society to do that today with all the social media. But the Bible said in 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 11, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 13 says, and withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also. You know, everybody hates a tattletale, don't they? That's probably hates a strong word. Everybody doesn't like a tattletale. Y'all remember the old saying, tattletale, tattletale, hang your britches on a nail. Hang them high, hang them low. You can finish it. Hang them in the toilet bowl. There you go. We used to say that all the time. Well, you're just a tattletale. But you know, the Bible talks about that. Tattlers also in busybody, speaking things which they ought not. Tell you what, Peter takes a strong stand in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 15. Listen to this. He said, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer. Those are pretty bad things, aren't they? Or as a busybody in other men's matters. Peter said, I'm going to tell you something. You got murders, you got thieves, and you got them busybodies. Peter, why would you put them in the same category as a murderer or a thief? Because I'm going to tell you what busybodies do. They destroy homes. They destroy lives. You know, somebody said, well, preacher, I don't think you ought to have your head in the sand. I'm not going to put my head in the sand, but I'm also not going to put my nose in other people's business. Can I get an amen right there? You see, you don't need to be involved in everybody's life. You don't need to insert yourself in everyone's life. Take care of your world, amen? Don't be an instigator in other people's life. Don't be informing others, amen, about everybody else's life. You know, we live in a day when so many people are full of drama. And they think that everybody thinks they're not everybody, that's a big statement, but a lot of people think that they're experts and counselors. And they're free to give advice. Here's the problem with that. But they don't know the whole situation. You know, even as a pastor, I don't know the whole situation. I told somebody just today, I was talking to me about something. I said, well, I'm not going to insert myself there, because I don't know all that's going on. You say, well, I don't want to be involved. It'd be foolish for me to get involved in something like that. But we live in a time when people, when something happens, here's what spiritual people do. When something happens, they try to de-escalate the problem. But immature people escalate it. They make it bigger than even what it is. So much drama in our churches today. A lot of drama papas and drama mamas running around. And I'm telling you, listen, they always got to be involved in everything that's going on, and always got to be, you know, just, I mean, they know, I mean, they should work for the FBI because they know everything. In fact, I don't know how they get anything done, Brother Cameron, because they know so much. I mean, they know more about the flock than I know. They know more than Sister Gravely knows. They must spend every day on their cell phone, staying in touch with everybody. I mean, it wears me out knowing how much they know, so it's got to wear them out. It's quiet, isn't it? I knew it was going to be when I started preaching, but I'm going to preach it anyway. We need this kind of preaching. Yep, busybodies. People's always got a comment. See, you got to stay out of things. Sometimes, I'll tell you something I hear a lot on the road. Pastors will say, how do you help people in your church when something happens and you're going to take care of it, but before you can even get to it, five people's already got involved in it? I said, well, that's what songbooks are for. You throw songbooks at them. It's true. I'm telling you, one day if I'm not a pastor, Brother Dave Terry, and something happens in a church, I'm telling you, apart from them burning the building down, they can have it. I ain't getting involved. But that's where we live today. Yep. Something happened before Brother Sister Gravely can even deal. Man, five people's involved. Now this thing is five times bigger than what it was. Well, you're better off. You watch them spiritual people. I tell you, that they ain't going to be involved. I can tell you that right now. I tell you how Sister Sheila Allen handles stuff. I've watched her all down through the years. Miss Gravely give her something to do. Nobody's even going to know she's doing it. Isn't that true? Nobody's even going to know she's doing it. And she got a question. She ain't pulling five people in. You know what she's going to do? She's going to write back to Miss Gravely and say, now how do you want this done? Nobody's even going to know about it. I like that. Don't you like that? I like it when you do something and you don't pull 25 people in. And I'm really, really in a deep hole right now, Brother Andrew. But I'm kindly enjoying the hole I'm in right now. Lord help me. Shouldn't be enjoying this. But if I asked somebody to clean the platform off today, I'd want you to do it quietly. And if I just said, I want you to clean the platform off, I don't want five cleaning the platform off. You say, well, Brother Gravely, well, why not? It's just the way we do it. You say, why? Keeps the drama out. Just stay in your world. Just clean the platform. And don't go get Ben. Say, Ben, what do you think about that platform? Brother Gravely asked me to clean that platform off. Is that what you think about it? No, I didn't want Ben involved. Or we would ask Ben. He said, what do you do? You just clean the platform and go home. Am I telling the truth tonight?
Amen, preacher.
You say, why you preach it? It's everywhere we go, friend. Everywhere we go. And it's, you say, is that a lot here? Not much here, because I preach on it like I'm doing right now. And I'm not doing that to be mean. I'll tell you, I'm doing that because here's what I know. Is there drama in the church? A little bit at times, but not as much as other places. Because you have to preach on these things to keep it out the door. You see, if I don't preach on it, here's what it'll get snowballing on you. You say, why is that so bad? I'll tell you why. Because you won't have a church.
Yeah, right.
You won't have a church.
Right.
No, Pastor, I have preached for, I don't know, maybe 8-9 years. He just lost 40 people. And if I told you why he lost 40 people, that was the most silliest thing you ever heard of. And sometimes you just, and I feel for him so bad, I feel for him. Good church, good pastor, good people. Silly things. And I told him, I said, I'm praying for you. He said, I don't know what. I said, Brother, I'm praying for you. I said, the only thing I know to tell you, I said, just hit everything when you preach. Amen. If you weed eat, you don't have to bush hog. Can I get an amen right there? I'm just weed eating tonight. But if I'm trimming down your row, I can't help it. I'm just telling you, it's in the verse. Stay in your world. That's good for me. I don't stay in my world. I don't pastor to some church down the road. I don't want to be involved in some other preacher's life and ministry. I don't want to police other men. What they do is their business, amen? But every man has to give an account for himself, isn't that right? That's a great responsibility. And so we don't have time to get in everybody else's business. Am I telling the truth tonight? I mean, listen, you don't have time to be involved. If you get involved in everybody else's business, here's what's going to happen. Your world's going to fall apart. And there's people tonight who woke up one day and never even knew their marriage was in trouble. Never even knew their children was in trouble. Always in everything else. Look what that verse says again. Learn this. Study to be quiet. Do your own business. Do your own business. Stay in your world. This is a life-changing thing. There's peace when you learn to stay in your own world. Doesn't mean you can't pray for people. Doesn't mean you can't be there. But I'm going to tell you, if somebody from another church come to me and said, Brother Gravely, can I talk to you? I'm going to always say this. I'm going to say, well, you need to go talk to your pastor. I'm not going to counsel that person. You go talk to your pastor. You say, why? Because it's not right. It's not right for me to do that. I won't even sit down and eat lunch with somebody from another church. I'm talking about another member. Man, if a man comes to me and says, hey, I'd like to take you to breakfast, I said, well, get your preacher. You say, why? Because I don't want that pastor walking in and me sitting down there with his members. Now, that's weird to some people, but it's right. It's ethical is what it is. It's just trying to be careful. I want to stay in the world that God put me in. Amen. And I'm telling you, that's so true. But we live in a day where, look, you could go home tonight and turn social media on. You know what social media is? It's everybody and everybody's business. That's what it is. And we got our church has online where people can watch services, and some of them's watching them tonight that's homesick, and I'm glad they can do that, amen. But I'm telling you, 99% of that junk could be pushed off into the charred walls of hell, and the world would be a better place because people just get on there and spout their opinion, and they got something to say. They got something to say about everything. And people lose a loved one, and people have got some kind of opinion about that. And I think, man, you ought to learn to stay in your world. I mean, hearts are grieving. People has lost. I don't have to say what I think, and really, I shouldn't even think nothing. I ought to just do my own business. Amen and amen and amen. It's a life-changing thing when you can be satisfied at doing what God's called you to do. And being who God has called you to be. And not trying to do or compete or be. I tell you this. If you ever sense that spirit of competition rise up in you toward another brother or another sister, here's what you do. You let them win. Amen? Let them win. You say, what do you mean? Well, Philippians 2 says that's preferring your brother before yourself. Somebody wants to compete with you. Somebody wants to be a better cook. Cook the worst dish. Don't bring it here, though. Boil some green beans and bring it. Ain't like we don't have them. Somebody wants to be a Betty Crocker. Let them be a Betty Crocker. You win. Somebody wants to be a Martha Stewart. You win. Amen? Somebody wants to be a better preacher. Have at it. You're way better than I am. Somebody want a bigger church? Go ahead. I hope it's 10 times better for the glory of God and the kingdom of Christ. Amen? Amen. Somebody wants to be a better singer? You win. Am I telling the right? I'm just going to stay in my world. I'm just going to pastor the church God called me to pastor. I thank God for the family that I have and the children and the grandchildren. I'm satisfied. Amen? I'm satisfied. People are, I'm going to go ahead and tell you tonight, they're better than me. They're bigger than me. They're smarter than me. I'm telling you, you know what? I'm happy they are. Praise God. I felt a little God on that. I'm happy. I am. I'm happy they are. I don't care. I know a young man right now, pastor in North Carolina. Listen, he took a church, and he's probably 28 years old, and I'm telling you, God exploded that church, and it's twice the size of this church. You think I'm going to get jealous about that? I hope he preaches twice as many meetings. I hope they have to build two more buildings. You know why? That's more people getting help, isn't it? I'm going to stay right over here on the side of this road and pastor this church till Jesus comes or he calls me home or whatever His will is for my life. Amen. And I'm telling you, it just doesn't matter is what I'm saying. If you're in your world and you're doing what God's called you to do, hey, let everybody out, do you? Is that right? Be better than me. Because really, that's how we should want it anyway. We should want people to do better than what we do. And we should want them to be better than us. And I want to say lastly, that's a life-changing lesson if you can learn that. To stay in your world, to silence your words, and then to serve in your work. We're to silence our words, we're to stay in our worlds, and then we are to serve in our work. Notice what he said here. And to work with your own hands. Now what does that mean tonight? It means that we need to learn to work independently. individually. That we don't always need to be dependent on other people. We have to learn to think for ourselves. And when I say that, I hope you'll take that with a grain of salt. I mean the Holy Spirit, of course, leading us. But not always, and I think somebody might have even said that this week, not always needing the applause, the approval of other people, but learn to work independently. Don't grow up, or if you have, please stop tonight. Don't be one of these people that always needs somebody to hold your hand to do something. Be skillful, be steady, be supportive. Focus on your task. Whatever God has put in your path to do, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do with all your might. You don't have to be the best. That's what this world has so pumped into this society. Nobody has to be the best. You have to give your best. Amen. You're as good of a guitar player as anybody I know. But he doesn't feel that way. You are too. And you are too. And Caleb, and Caleb Thomas said, man, I'm telling you, everybody right here can play guitar but me. But you know what? And some of y'all, there's so many piano players in this church. You don't have to play like somebody else. You don't have to be the best. You have to give your best. You know, that's why we say don't practice on us. Because when you get up here to sing, let me just clarify this. When you get up here to sing, we are not looking for perfection. Is that right? You say, what is that? That means if you mess up, so what? We all mess up. Isn't that right? But what we do try to teach is this. Don't get up here and mess up because you didn't give your best. Because you didn't practice. Don't get up here and say, well, I'm just going to try this. No, go practice before you. Because why do we say that? Because God never asks us to be the best, but He always deserves our best. And if you're going to play the piano, if you're going to play an instrument, if you're going to sing a song, if I'm going to preach a sermon, whatever, if you're going to teach a lesson, we owe it to the Lord to give Him our very best. We are serving the Lord, amen? And so whatsoever we do, do it heartily, amen? And that means give your best. Do it sincerely as to the Lord and not unto men. But we are to work with our own hands. You know, you don't always have to have a buddy to do something for God. Just get in there and learn to work individually. Learn to work independently. There'll be times when we have to work collectively, but we have to learn to... People have to be able to depend upon us that we can finish the job. You say, well, Brother Gravely, what if I do this and it doesn't work out? You just got to find a way. Y'all believe that? I'd go in there and I'd say, Daddy, lawnmower don't work. Son, work on it. I'm busy. Well, I don't know how. You'll figure it out. Yep. Just keep working on it. I'd go out there and I'd think, man, I don't know how to work on a lawnmower. You know how I learned how to work on a lawnmower? Figuring it out. Finally, I thought, well, let's check the gas. Looked in there, no gas. Well, that's pretty good reason. My dad was smart enough to know, like, I ain't going out there checking the gas for him. He can check it himself. If it doesn't work the second time and there's gas in there, I'm like, well, maybe it's a spark plug. And so I go, that's a bad idea, isn't it? It works. Not the spark plug. You know, you just got to figure some things out. Don't quit because something don't work out. Just step back and say, well, we got it. You know, we got to fix it, don't we? When stuff breaks, you got to fix it. You got to figure out a way. Work with your own hands. That's how we learn things. You know, there's a little thing that I really don't like it, but I got to admit, sometimes when you're all by yourself, it's real beneficial. There's a little thing called YouTube. Nobody should be dumb anymore at all. Chat GPT. How do you do this? It'll tell you. But a lot of times, people have never learned to just work with their own hands. You know, that's the only way you really learn some things. You just got to wade out into it and do it. Is it going to be perfect? Is it always going to be right the first time? No, but you'll learn working with your own hands, won't you? You know, just getting busy. Young people, learn to work with your hands. You know, learn to work. Give God your best. Serve. Don't always have to have somebody hold your hand. Don't always need the approval of people. Just work on it. Focus on your task. Follow the instructions that are there. Don't always depend on someone else. Why? It's a life-changing lesson when you learn to be independent and work on some things. I want to say this in closing tonight. How much better would our churches be? How much better, I'm talking across the board, would our churches to be? Would they be tonight? If we could get all the church to just practice these three things. Study to be quiet. Do your own business. Work with your own hands. You know, when you hear something negative, kill it. You say, how do I kill it? Don't tell nobody else about it. You say, what am I supposed to do, Brother Greg? Pray about it. That's what you do. Some things you just ignore. Don't get involved. Stay as far away from it as you can. And I'm going to tell you, you'll be a lot better off. The pastor who's always putting his nose in every member's business will divide his church as quick as a member will. Preachers are to come to church, preach the word of God to people, be available if they need counsel, go to the back door and shake hands, and then go home and eat grilled cheese and chili for supper. That's what sounds pretty good to me tonight. And I'm telling you, you're better off and so am I. And then when you need me, you'll call me. Is that right tonight? But I'll tell you, if I was to go, now if I seen somebody going out into straying, I'm going to go right to that person because I love them and I want to help them. But I'm not going to come ask you, Brother Raddery, you know, what's in your bank account? How much you make on the hour? How much you pay for that car? I'm not going to ask you certain things about your kids. In fact, if y'all come to me, what I always say? What did your parents say about this? What did your mom and daddy say? You know, you say, why? Do your own business. Tonight as we stand, God knows, doesn't He? He knows tonight why He'd have me preach this sermon.